Live. Are we live?
Really? Are we live?
Hey, we are. Pat and JT live in our listener lounge for Pat and JT After Dark.
We're loaded up.
Listen to you. Oh, my gosh. This is great.
Oh, my gosh.
So excited. We've been working up to this. Honestly, the hardest part about this was launching this because usually, you know, you walk in and everything's ready to roll, right? And you just go and we're ready to go. But now it's been sitting here doing the countdown, doing a countdown, doing a countdown. Poor Andy's over there. Doesn't know what to do with himself.
Like a kid on Christmas Eve.
Yeah. I know.
And we've got Kelly over here from Prism.
Hello.
Also, we're going to take a quick minute here and kind of introduce everybody and what's going on.
And how long have we been planning this? Ever since I opened my big mouth about a month and a half ago and we had to do it?
It was longer than that.
Was it?
It's been longer than that. Yeah. This has been months in the making. I tell you what, I think it was after we saw the Brother Station down here and they had their State of the Union address on 1620, the zone with the boys, and they had a panel of six or eight people. And that's how we do our Halloween show. Right there.
And this is kind of the way it is. So we are so excited for this. We've been every year close to Halloween, though.
Years.
We've had Kelly and we've had Andy. Carl and Elizabeth is here, too, coming in on Halloween and just talking about this stuff from EVPs to freaky stories. And it's just kind of taken off. And we love talking about this. And you guys bring so much to the show. So thank you for giving us some of your time on Saturday.
No doubt. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for coming down. We've got the list of people that have stories. And we're going to try and get to as many as we can. As you probably know, time is going to dictate what we're going to be able to do. But what we will do is randomly, we're going to grab a couple people to have them tell their stories before we start each segment. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, I think what we're going to do is we're going to grab, and I'm just going to randomly grab because I know who's got stories, but I don't remember everybody's story. I don't have the final list. Mm-hmm. Is that list still over there, Whit?
This is Jill casting blame if it gets screwed up. This is her. I don't have, but I don't.
I'm setting the table.
Uh-huh, basically. That's what this is.
That's the one. Yes.
And if somebody's listening right now and you have no idea what's going on, they probably think we're pitching like a diet smoothie or something. This is it's Pat and JT After Dark, and we've been talking about it for a long time. And everybody that's here in the listener lounge at 50th and Dodge in the Liney Lounge, submitted a story to us.
Almost everybody.
Almost everybody. But everybody that comes up and talks tonight and tells their story submitted a story online, and we had a panel of people read these stories and selected them, and they're awesome. Every story that is going to be told tonight a lot of them, gave us chills.
Yeah.
They really did.
And I'll tell you right now, most of these stories that you sent in, I've never heard these before. And every year we have how many people call in?
Oh, yeah, really, tons of them.
Absolutely.
And then a little bit later on we have, and Kelly is here, and her dad Carl from Prism, a paranormal investigation team. We will let you guys talk in just a couple seconds. You're kind of like, sorry.
No, we're good.
We're all excited.
So we can go ahead and we'll just take a quick break.
Yeah.
And when we come back, we're going to also add another guest to the panel, and then we're going to start with some stories and then explain what it is that you guys do.
Sounds good.
So here we go. Pat and JT After Dark continues. We're in the Liney Lounge, 50th and Dodge. Keep it here on Q98.5. We're back live in 3 minutes on Q98.5.
Pat and JT After Dark on Q98.5 is back, live from the Liney Lounge at 50th and Dodge.
And also, we're of course, everybody in the audience has Twitter. We guys encourage to tweet. You can at message us, and we're going to be retweeting a lot of things. So if you follow us on Twitter, at Pat and JT, or at Omahaunts is another way that you can get involved in what's going on tonight at the Liney Lounge live, 50th and Dodge with Pat and JT.
And we're going to get started with stories here in just a second. I'm going to look for Gara. Is it Gara Williams? Are you here? Right? I think on the list you were marked off. Jeannie Darnell.
Oh, there she is.
Jeannie. You're going to be called on. We're going to have you hook up with Jenny, who is over here on the other side of the room.
And up here on our panel is Psychic Andy is here with us, and also Kelly from Prism. And Prism is a paranormal investigation team. You guys have been with the show for a long time. Just thanks for coming down. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having us, man. This is going to be a blast. We've been looking forward to it a long time. I know it's your favorite season. Halloween's your favorite holiday. So pretty much every time, I'm in the studio with you guys on Fridays, me and Pat are talking about something brewing. What are we going to do next Halloween or next Aprilween?
Aprilween.
Exactly.
And Kelly, too, we've been talking about it for a while, too. The EVPs over the last couple of months that you guys have captured at Haunted Hollow and then also at Villisca.
Yep.
Talk about a couple of those real quick, and then we'll get to the stories.
Well, Villisca, we've got a bit of a residual haunt that we captured, one of those life-changing EVPs to me.
And an EVP is, what's an EVP real quick?
Electronic voice phenomena. And what we do is we record for audio evidence at any investigation that we go to, and we're looking for the spirits to talk to us through electronic voice phenomena, through the box.
The crazy thing is just real quick here, if you want to throw one up here real quick, one of the girls that works with us, Bailey.
Oh, yeah.
She just, this years ago, this happened to her, and she was at, what's the hotel where they did The Shining?
Oh, Bailey, you're here. Where are you?
It's a Stanley, I think.
The Stanley Hotel.
Stanley.
Yep.
Okay.
How long ago was this?
This was 2010.
Okay.
So she did this, and it was on a phone that records in a weird way, and it was really hard to get this thing off her phone. But we finally did.
Yeah.
And cleaned it up a little bit. And in this EVP, you'll hear her talking, and they didn't know, they did not hear this happen at the time. But as at the end, you'll hear somebody say, I can't breathe. Let me breathe. Yeah,
okay,
listen to
we'll
this.
Okay, we'll play it. Here we go.
There's a weird noise over here.
Yeah, I can't hear that.
It's like your ears are ringing, but it's constantly going.
Oh, wow. Are you kidding me?
That was good.
That is crazy. That's the first time I'd heard that.
Do it again.
Hold on.
There's a weird noise over here.
Yeah, I can't hear that.
It's like your ears are ringing, but it's constantly going.
That is freaky.
I can't breathe.
You can hear
you guys hear
like
that in here?
Something like that, or help me breathe or something.
Can you guys all hear that? Oh my gosh! That
oh yeah!
Was crazy.
That was a
so
good
are you on your second pair of underwear already?
Well. Oh my gosh!
It was a ghost kid.
Kelly, that ghost babies are freaky. So Kelly, when something like that, when hold on, one more time.
There's a weird noise over here.
Yeah.
It's like your ears are ringing, but it's constantly going.
Crazy. Okay, so that is, when you say residual haunt, what does that mean? What is that?
So that would not, that could be either.
Okay.
Residual haunt is something that's just kind of like, for example, if it's like a heinous crime or something that occurs. So it's just kind of like a movie. You press play and it just replays itself. Mm-hmm. So, for example, at Villisca, if you get capture the kids saying, help me, chances are they're not just asking you to help them. They're replaying, that's just kind of branded into the wall.
Go ahead, Hannah.
Intelligent haunt is another type of EVP that we're capturing and coming into play with stuff. And intelligent haunt more or less communicates with you. So that's the people that you can say, you know, I'm here. Can you give us a sign of your presence? And it knocks on the table. So that's an intelligent haunt. That EVP could be either. I mean, it could just be saying, let me breathe. Or it could be a replay. Maybe they died there or something. I mean, weird stuff has happened at Stanley. So
Valeska, active.
Villisca is way active, yes.
Ghost Adventures.
Yeah.
I saw the episode from 2010.
Yep.
Last week. Freaked me out.
Yeah, freaky stuff.
Very much so.
Yeah.
And that's where you guys had been to a couple, three places that have been hotbeds.
Yeah.
I can't wait for this.
That is unbelievable. And so later on in the show, an EVP that you said life-changing, what was the word you used?
Yeah, life-changing.
Life-changing EVP, and we'll have that
coming
up before
on.
11 o'clock.
Yes, absolutely.
That's awesome. Okay, so we have a story ready to go lined up. We need Liz up here, too. Is that what you're reading to me? I can't read your writing.
Never mind. Yeah, I want to get
it's nice writing. It's just dark.
Whatever. anyway, Jenny, you got Jeannie over there, right?
Hi, yes, Jeannie. I have Jeannie over here.
Hi,
right,
Jeannie.
Jeannie, we're going to put you on mic because we want to hear your story.
Where are you from, Jeannie? Are you from Omaha?
Council Bluffs.
CB, all right.
And you cannot count Council Tucky.
No,
we won't.
Unless
you're from
we will
there,
not.
You cannot call it Council Tucky.
We will
you
not
go.
Do that, I promise. So what's your story? What happened?
So it started about 3 years ago. I had a built-in china hutch in my dining room. And I was sitting there eating dinner with my boyfriend and his boys and my son, and I noticed one of my statues was turned around to the back. And I looked at that, and I'm like, who did that? One of you guys did that, and they all denied it. I kind of believe them. The statue was one of those precious moments statue, and it was your precious boy, something like that, one of my first children. So, okay, blow it off. Time goes on, and things in my downstairs family room started falling off the shelves. For instance, pictures would just randomly, I'd find them falling down on the next shelf.
Wow.
Can you try to justify it for a while? Like, you know.
Yeah. Should happen.
The house settled.
Right?
No. Okay. So one day, I work at home, and one day I'm in my dining room sitting at my table, and I'm working, and I hear a crash. Don't think anything of it because I'm on the phone with the client. Couple hours later, I go out to my garage, and a box was on the ground, and everything in the box was shattered. And I am not the kind of person to have a box half on the shelf. So I picked it up, cleaned it up, you know, just like, well, that's weird, you know. Didn't think, you know, thought it was weird, but didn't think anything of it. Just things started happening. My sons were in the downstairs family room, and a shelf from the built-ins just crashed.
Oh, wow.
Jeez.
Crashed to the ground. Things just went flying all over the place. Hmm. We didn't know what happened. Twice. I was in my kitchen, and I had a door, one of my cabinet doors, kind of open. And I stood there, and I was I just watched it shut.
Oh, wow.
Two times.
Nope.
No thanks.
Nope.
One time I was in my bedroom, and I was laying in bed watching TV, and the door shut. And I got back up, and I opened it up, and it shut again immediately. Truly, I do not feel scared.
You know, how do you not feel scared?
I just didn't.
Protective?
No, I don't know. I just like, this is my house.
But
this is my house. Okay, so my son.
I mean, I get that. That's awesome. But
it's my house. You are not going to intimidate me.
Okay.
That's awesome.
My son's home on leave. He's in the Navy, and he was in Guam. And we decide one night to get the Ouija board out. I didn't tell you this story.
This is how all ghost stories begin. So I was bored, and I decided to get out the Ouija board.
Yeah, it is. It's one of those, hey, you with the gas.
We get
my matches.
It always starts. It's like one time at band camp, and you know where it's going.
Yeah.
All right, let's hear a Ouija board story. Go ahead.
A real quick reminder, I know we're going to get really super excited, but try not to swear if we can, because we're on live on the radio. Okay, no. I'm just saying. Okay.
Get a little nervous. So my younger son's home, my older son home, and my son's girlfriend is there. So first we start out with me and the girlfriend, nothing. My younger son comes over, we're on the Ouija board, nothing. My older son and I get on the Ouija board, and I swear to it went crazy. And I'm thinking, it is my son. He's 23 almost now, you know, so he was about 21 at the time. And I'm thinking, you're jacking with me. You're doing this. So I ask questions that he would never know. For instance, my ex-husband's aunt died many years before he was even born. And so I asked some questions about her and where she died, and the Ouija board was answering correctly.
There you go.
I mean, come on,
I know.
Yeah. That's amazing. Okay, so now, Kelly, how does a Ouija board? I would be too.
I'm crying at this point.
Did your whole "this is my house" thing kind of go away?
Not yet. No.
Okay.
So, we're on the Ouija board, and my son's in the Navy, and his great uncle was in the Navy, and they were talking some kind of terms that I didn't understand. That my son's like, yeah, that's, and I don't remember what it was at this point, but it was a Navy term, and then he's saying something about Brian being. Be safe. And I'm saying, what's going on? You know, is something going to happen? And he's going, no, just be safe. And then he said another Navy term.
Wow.
And my son is understanding it. I'm not understanding it, but we're both kind of crying at this point. So, I don't know.
That's awesome.
Thank you for the story.
No, there's a little bit more.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Sorry.
Okay. That's okay. We got a lot of people to get in. Okay, go ahead.
So, the worst thing that happened was I'm back at home again working, and I hear a crash. And this time I'm not on the phone, so I go down to my downstairs family room and look, and there's a book laying 3 feet away from my bookshelf. There was about five or six books on the bookshelf, pushed back about an inch and a half. One book fell out, flew out. The book was called Apparitions.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not kidding.
Hello.
That's when I stood there and I said, who's here? I know someone's here. You're trying to get my attention. Mm-hmm. You are not scaring me. This is my house.
Did it answer?
No.
And
I didn't feel anything.
Okay.
Crazy. I've never felt scared. I've never felt.
Well, that's good. I mean,
credit for that.
Yeah.
It's my house. You are not intimidating me in my house.
Well, you need to keep us updated on this not in my house thing. How long it goes? Because that's cool. I mean, that's awesome.
I'd be saying it's not my house.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Because I sold it.
I sold it. Thank you. So Kelly and Andy, both of you guys, when we're dealing with. You always hear, don't bring a Ouija board into any situation. Why?
I mean, people call us to do investigations, and I do this all the time, and I won't use a Ouija board. You just open yourself up for too much.
But why a Ouija board? What is it with? It's a board with numbers and letters and a heart with
or
whatever.
It's a toy. I mean, it's manufactured by a toy company. I don't know. It's probably all just a mythical type of a thing. You know, you have so many ties to Ouija board. I mean, The Exorcist, the movie, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. She uses the Ouija board, and she gets possessed by an evil demon. So, you know, I don't know.
You know what I always say is a Ouija board is about as powerful as the person using it.
Right.
You know, you take a psychic medium or even someone who's just highly intuitive, and you don't need the actual board to communicate with the spirit world. But I think sometimes where the Ouija board gets the negative kind of, you know, the stereotype from is that you're not opening the door just a crack to the psychic world with a Ouija board. You're knocking the door down and you're saying anybody can come through.
Right. Exactly. Because they're looking for any kind of contact.
Right. So yeah, if anyone out there is listening and you do want to make contact with your sweet grandma or your funny uncle, you can do it. You know, just set the intention that you only want those positive beings to come through, and anyone else who's cranky and is going to throw your book off the shelf, they can stay over there.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Should we play another EVP before we do another story?
Yeah, we can. And by the way, too, I wanted to, which one did you want to do?
It doesn't matter to me. Which one? Kelly, will you pick an EVP that you gave to us other than the awesome one? Which one should we do?
Other than the awesome one?
Yeah, yes, other than
that's
the one
last.
At the very end. How about Durham? What's Durham? Durham 1 or 2?
That's a funny one.
Okay.
Really?
That's a funny one.
Okay, so that's from UNO, and we're part of the UNO Paranormal Society, and we just had their summit, you know, last weekend, and UNO Society started basically to bring paranormal groups together. And then it's also student-based, so there's students that go as well. And what we do is we just do campus investigations sometimes, but this particular one, we were actually finishing up one of our weekly meetings. We meet from 12 to 2 in the Durham Science Building, and we were kind of feeling some stuff and hearing some stuff, and so we just set up a recorder, and John Powers from the UNO Paranormal Society is the one that captured this stuff.
Okay, so we'll play it, and then you can explain
these are funny.
Okay,
here we go.
Your brain to process, and you just cannot...
Okay. What were they saying?
I think they're slow.
Okay.
It's a slow ghost.
It's a slow ghost.
We captured a slow ghost.
Okay. You captured a slow ghost. What was the slow ghost saying? Do you know?
Or something.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. I don't know.
Indigestion.
Maybe. A burping ghost.
Maybe.
All right. Here's another
okay.
one.
Something was on there.
Weird. See,
that is
I'm
just
saying, like it.
That is just like he's trying to get you guys to crack up and.
Yeah, and we totally did after we heard it. Well, what made it even funnier is John. He's a professor and he's real into the science end of it. And he heard it and then he had to send it to me and he didn't really tell me. He was like, just tell me what you think. And at first he thought it was maybe him and that we just weren't telling him that he was randomly going.
You know what it kind of sounds like if you ever had a mix between a hiccup and a burp?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Uh-huh. I was just thinking, could ever any of these be animals?
I mean, ooh. It could be. It could be an animal.
Like, could it be a dog or something?
Yeah, it could be. And I mean, I don't know why it. I mean, it was at the Durham Science Building. So
my dog is deaf, and his barks are.
Maybe.
You know, he can't hear himself, and he gets really loud and very high pitched.
Yeah.
And he's trying so hard to bark, and he can't hear it. You know, and I'm like, oh.
you've captured cats before, haven't you?
Yeah, cats. Yep. Wow. I believe I was sent one of those. One of the haunted hollow ones.
Oh, you did. Okay, haunted hollow. Here's a cat that you guys captured. An EVP cat. Here we go.
That's just crazy.
Yeah. Pretty kitty. Okay. We got one at Squirrel Cage too.
I remember the Squirrel Cage
one. Yeah.
All right, good enough.
So when you guys find these, it takes you hours to go. You have to go listen to these in real time. Listen to them very close to hear these EVPs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Yeah. Okay, so we do a break or we do another break? Okay, so we're going to come back and we're going to get who's going to be next on the panel
in just a couple minutes. Questions. Now,
know,
you just
so
sit here
questions.
Asking me questions.
I know. I just throw things out
should
while
we
play.
Should we take a break?
Yeah.
Who's on next?
We're going to play Bailey's EVP one more time. This is crazy.
There's a weird noise over here.
Yeah.
It's like your ears are ringing, but it's constantly going.
Okay, so we'll take a break and come back. We have more stories live.
And we'll add to the panel.
We're adding to the panel. We're live at 50th and Dodge in our Liney Lounge here on Q98.5. It's Pat and JT. After Dark, you can follow us on Twitter at Pat and JT.
Pat and JT After Dark on Q98.5 is back. Live from the Liney Lounge at 50th and Dodge.
Getting tweets like crazy from people at Pat and JT who are different places around town listening, and hopefully the EVPs are freaking them out in the stories. More stories to come. If you're tweet to us where you are tonight listening. I think I said watching. That's ridiculous. At Pat and JT if you're listening to After Dark.
Yeah, if that is the case.
Yeah.
Also, we've got more stories coming our way from our audience. Kelly Harris is over there, and I think she's got her story that she sent in to us. So, Kelly, how are you?
Hi, Kelly.
I'm pretty good. How are you guys?
Good. All right, let's hear it.
All right, so... my uncle died at my grandparents' house in Las Vegas when I was about 9, and I went and visited them in May of 2009, right after I graduated from college, and we haven't really had any contact with my uncle's like kids or anything, my cousins. But I woke up really early every day. I was visiting my grandparents, and I woke up and I felt something in the room with me one morning. It entered my body, and I began to levitate up off the bed.
What?
And
oh my God, this is like heavy hitting the second story.
And I heard my uncle's voice in my head, and he said, "Tell Dustin I love him." And Dustin would be my cousin, he's my age, basically.
Yeah.
I fell back onto the bed, and I woke up. Like, it felt like half like a dream, but I don't really believe it was a dream.
Right.
So
it shook you up, though, the message.
Oh,
did the message shook you up as well?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Anytime I to this day, I haven't really had contact with Dustin. I've never been able to tell him.
Are you working up to hopefully telling him one day?
Because that was...
Yeah, I hope one day maybe the time is right. I was just talking about it with an aunt on another side of the family, and she was saying, you know, maybe you got the message here in 2009, but maybe he doesn't need to hear it yet. Maybe the time will be right some other time.
Wow. Elizabeth has joined the panel with us. Well,
hi. Thank you very much, Kelly. Appreciate it.
What a psychic Andy and Elizabeth both up here now. What contact dreams, we always talk about contact dreams when we lose a loved one. This is like taking it to the next level.
Yeah.
What would you guys,
you
if she came to you guys, what do you think about it?
Holy cow. Well, first, I guess my first question would be, were you playing with a Ouija board?
Yeah, seriously.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I've
wow.
never, personally, I've had quite a few loved ones come to me. I've never had anyone come to me that powerfully. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's insane.
Wow.
What do you guys recommend when somebody has loses somebody and then they have a contact dream, or maybe they don't have a contact dream? Can you interpret that at all, Andy? Or Elizabeth, I mean,
why do some and some don't?
Yeah.
You know, I think it sometimes depends on the person receiving the message, too. I always tell people, you know, people will come into me and they'll say, you know, I've been wanting to hear from my dad or my mom who has passed. And sometimes if we're really emotional or we have a lot going on, we're really stressed, it kind of clouds our intuition and it clouds that channel for our loved ones to come through.
Okay.
And I think that can also carry over into dreamland.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I always say, because if we could see the audience and if we took a poll, you know, who's had a dream about a loved one before who's passed away, most of you will raise your hand. And then if we asked how many of those experiences were positive, most of you would keep your hands up. Usually they're positive, but the simple rule of dreaming about people who have passed on, if they look happy, healthy, and you wake up with a good feeling, it was an actual visit. If they looked unhealthy, unhappy, and you woke up kind of feeling ick, it was just a nightmare.
Yeah, no. If it's off the wall, it was just a dream.
Elizabeth, you literally see dead people all the time.
All the time, yeah.
That's insane.
Talk about that just real quick.
Well, I remember seeing and sensing people when I was very, very little. Very little. I didn't sleep in my own room until I was probably, 11? Mm-hmm. I slept on Andy's floor. No joke. My mom put me in therapy because I told her I was seeing dead people.
Or just around your room?
I was seeing monsters. I told my mom I was seeing monsters. But I was seeing them and I was sensing them, and she put me in therapy. And I remember this therapist saying, now you know there's not really monsters in your room. And I remember thinking, I'm 5 or 6 at this time. And I was thinking, this guy's an idiot.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, there are.
I'm seeing
there are dead people. There are monsters in my room. And still to this day, it drives my husband absolutely insane because I wake up seeing people all over my room all the time.
Oh, and you're just used to it by now? It's like no big deal?
I'm used to it to an extent, but I also know how to kind of put up my boundaries.
So let me ask you this. When you have dead people in your room,
yes,
they you see them, they see you?
Yes. Usually they're staring right at me. I know it sounds scary, but
No, it bothers me because they're always there watching.
Well, okay, yes. No,
always.
I can't tell
always.
You. Yes,
see?
I know.
That's what I'm talking about.
I know.
Now, when you guys first moved into to your new place just a few months ago, there was a female
ghost.
I'm
so embarrassed. Anyone else?
I don't think you have anything to worry about.
Well, not lately. But
I think you're pretty okay.
Whatever. Go on.
Oh, after dark, we really get to know JT.
That's right.
See, luckily, my husband knew what he was getting into. So,
but yeah. You had this woman bothering you. She would appear at your in the foot
yet
of your
the
bed.
The first night we were in our home, the first night I wake up and there's a woman standing at the foot of my bed. And she just looked like a normal woman. I could see her pretty clearly. And usually I can see them. I'll close my eyes, roll over, whatever, look back to the same spot, and they're gone. Well, she was still there. For a minute, I was thinking, okay, is there a squatter in the house? Does someone break
and do they,
into
and do they look real? Do they
yeah.
look like
yeah.
they don't look like can't see through
no,
them or
except
anything?
For here's the only difference is I can usually if you're standing in a dark room, you can't see everybody. You can't see their features very clearly. I can see their features and I can see them like the room is light, mm-hmm. but it's dark. Mm-hmm. And so she was standing at the foot of the bed and I kept looking away and looking back and she was still there. And finally I was just like, will you please go away?
And they do. She did.
And she did. Away? Yeah.
So if you ask them to go away, they'll go away.
Yes, but she has been back a few
it's a
times.
New prayer I'm gonna have.
Oh and my God. go away.
And one night, she came back and I could see her walking from the doorway over to my husband's side of the bed and she started leaning down like she was going to kiss him. Right? I know.
Yeah.
A little kiss
Hello.
On the cheek before bedtime, I guess.
Yeah.
So I mean, this is like 2 o'clock in the morning though, and I sat up in bed and out loud, I said, get out of my house. And she just kind of slowly backed up to the bathroom and disappeared into the dark
That's
bathroom.
Just crazy,
that was
man.
Creepy, and I did not enjoy that.
No.
No.
Holy
no.
smoke.
Okie dokie.
Ghost hitting on my husband.
Not pretty. No.
All right.
No. A nerve.
What do you want to do?
Let's do another story. Yeah.
Let me get a couple people up here and while
okay.
we're doing that.
Okay, sounds good.
We'll do
another EVP?
Do another EVP as
okay,
well.
Okay, cool. Okay, so
actually,
Kelly.
Let me grab, hold on.
Okay.
We need Deborah.
Okay.
Deborah Hills, and I think it's Michaela Holland. So if you guys will find Jennifer, and we'll get you hooked up. So good.
So Haunted Hollow, locally in town, we think of it as a haunted house where people go through and people jump out and they
jump
get
out and
scared.
Scare you,
yeah,
yep.
But it actually is haunted.
Yes, it is. The house, and what's unique is 2 years ago, Mike McCormick purchased some stuff from Villisca. When Darwin Lynn passed away from the Villisca Axe Murder House, he had a museum in town, and his wife couldn't handle both the museum and the Axe Murder House, so she sold the museum and all of its contents at auction. And so Mike McCormick was like, well, that'd be fun. So they went to Villisca, and they bought a bunch of stuff, and now the whole grounds is haunted. So, like, even, like, the haunted barn maze is haunted, and the Villisca house where they have all the stuff set up is haunted, so... Lots of experiences, lots of fun, cool experiences there, though.
Okay, so we've got a couple things on here from Haunted Hollow. You guys just investigated a couple weeks ago, last week?
Yeah, Monday.
Monday.
That's when we had
yeah.
one of the winner went, too.
Yeah,
right?
So we had two Q listeners that came because of a miscommunication. So we had... We had Mitts and a guest that came, and those were the ones that won from the audience listening mm-hmm. from the show. And then we had two people that came all the way from Wisner, Nebraska
wow.
That's
to
cool.
investigate that won from Twitter. So that was pretty cool.
And then we've got Haunted Howl, this whistle. What is the whistle one?
I mean,
self-explanatory, basically.
Yeah,
you just
yeah,
capture this
really
crazy
know.
Whistle.
We
okay,
didn't
we'll play
hear it.
It
with our ears.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Can you come in and say hi? Grandpa's here. Hi, Grandpa.
It's the very beginning.
Yeah, the very beginning of that.
Can you come in and say hi?
There it is.
Yeah, and you didn't hear that.
So, and then when we cleaned it up a bit and we kind of isolated it and you know, trying to figure out what the whistle was, I can hear speaking in that as well. I hear I'm in here.
Oh, okay.
In that
right,
as
well.
So,
time.
Like, if you...
Can you come in and say hi?
So, let it replay.
Oh, my bad.
Can you come in and say hi? Grandpa's here. Hi, Grandpa.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
hear
I
it too
hear
or like,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. I hear it. I hear it.
Yeah, can you guys hear it?
Wow. I'm impressed. I can't whistle.
I can't.
Here's another one. This was it's just labeled no. We'll just listen to it, then you can explain it.
Is it okay that we're here?
No, I'm not.
So is this a little kid? No, it's not.
No, it's not, or something.
No,
yeah.
Not.
Is this something?
Is it okay that we're here?
Ooh. I'm telling you. Ghost babies are it for me.
That's coming up. That's later. Ghost later. Later. Ghost babies are later.
Can't wait.
Can't wait for the ghost
so
babies.
So what is it, Pat? We've never put the spotlight on Pat. What is it?
I don't know. About ghost babies?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about ghost babies.
You know
that is my hot button. I don't know.
I've seen a lot of ghosts. I've never seen a ghost baby.
Well, and maybe ghost baby, it's like the ghost toddler. It's not the ghost baby, but it's
I've seen a little boy in pajamas. Like he was showing up to me. I think he died around my neighborhood. He was showing up to me and he was wearing blue pajamas. Like every night for 2 weeks I was seeing him. And I was living with my mom at the time, and she was like, oh, talk to him. Just talk to him. See what he wants. And I was like, you talk to him.
No.
I'm not talking to him.
Maybe it's because it's just sad, because you know that it didn't end well for them, and maybe it's the sadness behind it that scares me. I don't know. It just freaks me out.
I was just creeped out. Yeah. You know, the main thing for us, when we catch a kid on audio, we don't take kids on investigations. So when you hear a child say something, you know without a shadow of a doubt it's an EVP.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's what got me at Valeska on the TV show, because there were the kids' voices. And three of the kids talked to him. You know, oh, that was creepy. Yeah, it really was. All right, we've got a story. Who do we have over there, Jen?
This is Debbie Hills.
Hey, Debbie.
And I'm here because of the Ghost Radar app.
Oh, wait.
Where's he at?
I love that
app. Right there. Dave. This is Radar Dave right here. Ghost Radar Dave. Oh, we're going to talk about you here in just
a second.
I've got a
story about the little radar app from last night and this morning, too, at my
house.
Oh, it's crazy.
Okay, all right.
Well, I heard all about Ghost Radar on your program, and I'm a big fan. I listen every single morning when I'm getting ready for work.
Thank you.
And so I got really excited last Halloween when you were talking all about it, and I didn't have an iPhone yet. But later when I got one, one of the first things I wanted to put on it was the Ghost Radar app. And
I'm
so I uploaded it, and I didn't have time right away to play around with it. But at about this time, I had been missing my dad a lot. And for whatever reason, because he passed away about 10 or 12 years ago, and he really just seemed to be around me a lot. I was thinking about him all the time, really missing him. And I mentioned it to several people, my family, the people I work with. I'm a teacher. And so because of that, I thought maybe I was in my bathroom one day and I was getting ready to go out to dinner with my mom for Mother's Day. And I had the phone in the bathroom with me and I had it set on the counter. And I thought this would be a good time just to turn on that app and see what happens. And the minute I turned it on, I heard Eddie.
Oh,
and that's
that
my
voice.
Dad's name.
In that voice.
In that monotone voice that the
Eddie.
App has.
Wow.
And I thought, did I hear that right? So I looked at the phone, and sure enough, it said Eddie, and then it said Father.
Oh,
wow.
Father.
Come on.
Father.
There's no,
it said it
over
three,
and over?
Three times.
There's no way you can justify that other than
right.
that it was him. There's
and
no
then,
way.
And I had goosebumps, and I said into the air, Dad, are you here? I didn't get anything back, but then my daughters, Abby and Betsy, came into the room to go out to dinner with us, and I told them what was happening, and I was crying. And they started writing down, on a piece of paper the rest of the things, but that was all that came from Dad.
Wow,
that's
awesome.
Fantastic.
But I really do feel like he found a little channel just to let me know that he was there and he was paying attention.
Yeah.
Deborah, thanks for sharing.
We opened
up the
Ghost Radar at our
house
here in the studio on Friday. Was it Friday or Thursday?
Every
I think
day.
It was Thursday. Well, we hadn't had it on for a while, and the day before we turned it on, our dog Jack had been sick for a long time, and he went to the vet and never came home, and that was on Wednesday or Thursday.
It would have been Friday morning when
Friday
this
morning.
Happened.
And the second first or second name he said was Jack, or it said was Jack.
It was.
Which was I don't remember ever seeing the name Jack on there before. And then this morning my wife and I were messing around with it a little bit, or it was last night, and it said Sally, and that's her grandmother's name, and her grandmother passed away.
Yeah, not that long.
Yeah,
ago.
Like a year and a half, 2 years ago, and it said another like back to back Sally, and then another word of like it was Italian, and we were talking about Italian food. It was weird, but there's something to that app.
You know, and people say about that app, like it's picking up what you're saying. So if you just said the word Jack, but. I'm assuming you didn't.
We didn't.
And neither did she.
Right.
She just turned it on.
And you guys say that electronics is the easiest way for the other side to contact us.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense.
It's the digital Ouija board. It's just another instrument by which they can communicate.
So it makes sense.
But I tell you what, man, spirits, ghosts, loved ones on the other side, they're clever. And if they're not getting your attention through your ghost radar or a Ouija board, they're going to throw a book off a shelf. They're going to come to you in a dream. Mm-hmm. They're going to rearrange a picture at your house. They're so inventive.
Come to you in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, you.
There you go.
Kiss your husband.
Yeah, you.
The nerve.
We're gonna take a break and come back. It's Pat and JT After Dark on Q98.5. We're live at 50th and Dodge in the Liney Lounge. You thought that when you go out at night and have a couple beers that you're not around ghosts. You think you're just around a lot of other drunk people.
No,
that's not true.
There.
We're gonna talk about that coming up here.
Always there.
Next, Pat and JT After Dark live on Q98.5.
Yeah,
there we are.
There we are.
We're live. Hold on, I gotta play my official thing here. Hold on a second. Okay. There we go. Don't worry.
Pat and JT After Dark on Q98.5 is back, live from the Liney Lounge at 50th and Dodge.
It took me 8 weeks to make that. My daughter just called me on the phone and said she had to turn it off because it was scaring her too bad. So we must be doing our job. It was super sweet. And I forgot to say hi to her before she shut it off, too.
I love it. Oh.
Darn it.
All right, before we get back to our panel here, too, we've got another story. Who we got over there?
I'm Mikkel Holland.
Hey, how
Hi.
You doing?
Good. I'm really excited.
Let's hear your story.
Okay. I'm local, so I grew up in Southwest Iowa, and this happened to me when I lived in Malvern at my house. My parents had bought a bed for me at a garage sale. It was like 70-year-old bed. So it was already creepy looking.
Yeah.
And so one of the first nights that I stayed in the house, I slept in this room that had hardwood floors. And I specifically remember moving the bed in. It was like an inch away from the wall. Well, I remember that night, the bed just shoved like a whole foot.
While you were in
wall.
It?
While I was in the bed.
Oh
it was
gosh.
Really, really scary. And so I woke up and I thought, well, yikes.
Yeah.
That's really scary.
How old were you then? How old were you then?
I was a junior
okay.
in high school.
Okay.
Wow.
And so I said to Mom, I'm switching rooms. This is a creepy room. Maybe it was the floor was just slick while I was sleeping.
Slick.
I don't know. So I switched rooms to a room that was completely carpeted. So a few months later, I was in bed, and I had to go to the bathroom, which was already scary because the hallway was dark. I already felt really creepy in the house. And so I went to the bathroom, and I ran back into my room, which is like 2 feet. I just like shot back in there. And then I laid down with on my stomach, head not facing the door. And the cat jumped on the bed. And so I was waiting for it to mess with me. Well, it did not. And then I felt it really sink in, like someone was sitting on the bed.
Oh.
And I couldn't move. I've heard of like the paralysis that people get sometimes.
Yeah.
But I could not move. And I was thinking in my head, I am not spiritually sound enough to be possessed right now. I really, I'm really not feeling this. So I'm like praying. I'm like, God, you got to get whatever's in here out of the room because I am not ready for this to happen.
Yeah.
So finally, it felt like hours, but I know it was just seconds. I lifted my head up and the weight was gone.
Oh my gosh.
And I have seen spirits before and it was always okay. I never felt scared. And I really was just terrified of this. And after that, I heard noises in the room all the time. And I kept the light on. I tried to watch Ghost Hunters in my house. I couldn't do it. I was too scared. And I finally moved out and they disassembled the bed. And once it was disassembled,
yeah.
nothing else happened.
Wow. That's a good. What do they call that when they attach to? Is that what it is? They just attach to furniture or things? Can that be?
Yeah.
Well,
something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know,
thank
our friend Chip Coffee, who we
too.
Had in here,
yeah.
he was on a show. Was it called Haunted Collectors?
Yeah.
Something
yes.
like that. But when I heard you brought in a 70-year-old bed, the sarcastic in her voice is like, "Well, there's your first problem."
Right.
You never know.
Well, okay,
I mean,
there are people right. who
yeah.
don't like antiques.
Exactly.
For that very reason.
Yep. Yeah. And the longer it's been okay. around, the more energy could potentially be attached to it. It doesn't matter if it's a picture frame, a pocket watch, or a bed frame. You
wow.
know? Energy is energy, and it does get stuck in objects. Yeah.
Wow.
And
okay.
apparently, it obviously gets stuck in houses and office buildings, and sometimes it even gets stuck in bars,
well, buildings,
and saloons, and
buildings.
We'll
yeah. Scuba Steve.
Hello.
Hello. You've been on the show before.
Yes.
Hit that dive if you're on Twitter, by the way.
What is hit that dive, for the love of God?
Hit that dive was a hobby and a way to get out of the house and drink on a Tuesday night a few years ago.
Okay.
So what I do is go around and review dive bars, mostly in Omaha, but around the country, and try and find those, you know, those creepy little out-of-the-way places where you walk in, and most people generally don't really enjoy having teeth, but do enjoy having a few beer. beers, make that plural. So I started going in. I was like, should you go in there or shouldn't you go in there? And I thought, well, somebody needs to be the guy to go in there. So I, you know, I nominated myself
there
and walked into a bar one day and started writing down these things, and people started reading it, and more people started reading it. So now I go around and review bars all over the place. But then I found out there are haunted bars in Omaha as well.
Now, Omaha, obviously, it's been around. I mean, the town's been here for a long time. It really, you know, it was part of the, actually, the expansion west, right? So you had some ne'er-do-wells that lived in this town, I'm sure, too, and the city, but a lot of older buildings, especially in the old market and surrounding areas.
And I have two theories on this. First of all, there's a lot of old buildings, and a lot of bars are in old buildings, so the older the place is, chances are there's the more energy that's been around. Second of all, you think about people that go into bars, and I can't see anybody out here because it's really dark, but show of hands, whoever watched Cheers?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So Norm Peterson, when Norm Peterson dies, is he going to want to go hang at home on the couch with Vera, or is he going to want to go sit on the corner bar at Cheers with all of his buddies like he's always done his entire life? So, you know, bar people are people of habit, of routine. They like a drink a certain way at a certain time at a certain place. And I really think the people that frequented a lot of these older bars, and some of the bars that we're going to go to on the Haunted Hangover bar tour next month, aren't as old as some of the ones downtown. But again, once, you know, people have made it a habit to be there, that is where they enjoy being.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't enjoy their family, but they do enjoy their bar family. So, you know, they probably are more worried about how those folks are doing than grandma was doing or their crazy
right.
uncle.
Right, they get
you
to
know?
Pick those.
Right. You don't get to pick your family, but you do get to pick your bar family.
There
those
you
are
go.
The people you probably have more of a connection
exactly.
with.
Exactly. Now, I know you're going to do the Haunted Tour, which is sold out.
Correct.
This is the first time he's done it, and it's sold out like within hours. I mean, just it was really fast. Two bus full.
I was kind of hoping to come here and pitch it.
I know. That was it.
That was kind of the idea. I didn't think it'd sell out that
fast. So we'll do it again. We'll do this again. But when you're going on this tour, is there any place in particular maybe you can kind of give us an idea? Because since we all don't get to go because we didn't call fast
First of
enough.
All, you can follow on Twitter. But second of all, I mean, two places that I'll really point out. And one is down in the old market. It's and these guys know about it as well. It's called O'Connor's. And owned by Katie O'Connor. She will fully admit she was a skeptic when she bought the place. If you ask her today if it's haunted, she goes, my goodness, yes. You know, Andy might know better than me, but she says there's more than 100 spirits in
Whoa.
The place.
Whoa.
Yeah, there's and I got a weird story with that, too, very short story. But she called me. This is a couple years ago, and she called me to make an appointment for a reading. And she was like, I found your business card here at my place. You know, when were you here? And I said, I haven't been there since I was 22 years old. So, you know, where she got the card, I don't know. Someone left the card, but so anyway, yeah, we kind of hashed it out
crazy.
And talked about that. But, yeah, you talk about Omaha bars, and that place always
That one
up.
Comes up first. I put a question on Twitter back in July, what's the most haunted bar in Omaha, just assuming nobody would say anything. And all of a sudden, it was like, bing, 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 and O'Connor's would come up about every third time. Another place we're going is a place called the Village Bar in Ralston. For those that know Ralston and the Village Bar, it was the Ralston Mortuary back in the early 1900s. So there have been a lot of dead people in there. In fact, truth be told, I saw a dead guy in there last night slumped over the bar.
Yeah.
He was promptly thrown out by Brock, the owner. So good work there, Brock. But, again, it then became a steakhouse and a lounge. And, again, people – I had an experience in there back in the summer. And, I had a few, but not too many, and I was standing in the men's room there.
You're just a little more open.
Yeah, and maybe it's just the LaRue Blackberry Brandy talking, but I swear it wasn't this time. The men's room is very small, so only one person can be in there at a time. As I was standing there doing what people do in there, the sink just came on, just full blast. And,
wow.
And I thought, that's strange. So I shut it off, and I thought, well, maybe it's a real loose sink, and it's, you know, so I, as I'm trying to debunk this, I realized there's no way it could just go on full blast by
right,
itself.
Right.
So I had talked to the owner a few times and said, can we, you know, we got to do something with this place. No. And finally, he's had an experience in there twice since then.
In the bathroom? The same
no,
thing?
Well, or come, just it emanates from the bathroom. It used to be a steakhouse for a long time. And the bar part was the lounge of the steakhouse.
Okay.
And where the doorway used to be to go back to the steakhouse kind of connects to where the bathroom is. And there have been now things, people, apparitions, whatever word you want to use, spotted roughly in the same area from where the steakhouse used to be to where the men's room is.
Really?
So we'll be going in there. I'm not originally from here, but we also have a special guest there, Dr. And I don't know if I'm ever going to say this right, Dr. Sanguinary.
Dr.
Will be joining
Sanguinary.
Along. So he'll be making appearance there as well. We'll have a few other appearances along. it's encouraging to know that I'm on the right path here, so we will definitely be doing this again, maybe some of the same bars, some other ones. Going to talk to these guys here. You know, we can make a big event out of this. But what's better than talking about ghosts riding around, having a few beers, and then having a few spirits, whatever form they may be in?
I can't think of it. And you asked the question. I can't think of anything better.
And it makes sense that it's a habit, right? I mean, when you're doing something in your life and it's after you died, is it that they don't know that they die and they just keep doing the same things they did in life, or they know that they died and like I'm
or
invisible
stuck in
finally?
It could be they're just stuck in a rut.
Or stuck in a rut.
Yeah. I mean, what is it? I mean, did you think that they just don't know that they die?
Yeah, I think all of us, when it comes down to it, are creatures of habit. But you know, when I'm reading with somebody and I'm connecting with their loved ones on the other side, you know what they usually bring up is activities that they were known for doing, whether it was sitting at a bar drinking or you know playing with their model cars.
Right.
You know. That's the most important thing. You know, when you take a quick snapshot of your life, you look at, okay, what were my hobbies? Where was I usually at? And that's the kind of information they typically bring up. So I agree with you. If they were with their bar family a lot, they're probably concerned about their bar family, and that's where they're going to be at in spirit form.
But, and if you think about from the movie Ghost, there's the scene in the subway where the guy's like, oh, I would kill for a cigarette. Mm-hmm. Well, in O'Connor's, there's apparently a couple that sits at a table and smoke cigarettes. And the one time the police were in there after the smoking ban, and they bring Katie over and said, who's smoking in your bar? And she goes,
no.
Let me explain this to you. We have ghosts in here, and they're sitting at that table having a smoke. But again, it's things you enjoyed. It's things that you wanted to do. And, you know, whether it's routine or habit or, you know, I know my dad's a smoker, and when he dies, he's still going to be firing up about 5 packs a day.
Wow.
You know, probably not at a bar. But, again, it's just those things that you probably – and again, I don't know, you know, I'm the guy that goes to bars, so I'm putting a lot of this together. But it's, you know, it's the things that you enjoy.
Sure.
You know, what would you Makes come sense. Back and do? You're not going to go to an insurance seminar.
Right.
You know, if you enjoyed being in bars,
exactly.
You're going to go hang out in a bar.
Right. You want to go. That's right. You have any more EVPs?
Oh, my gosh. We've got,
so
we have some more Haunted Hollow EVPs. We have one that well, we'll just play it, and then you listen to it, Kelly, then explain it for us. Okay.
Okay.
And if you're just tuning in, it's Pat and JT After Dark on Q98.5. Here we go.
I think we're done.
Oh, man, I heard that. A little help at the beginning? Is that a little kid saying help?
That?
Hold on, here we go.
I think we're done.
Yeah, it's like help, okay. or something.
What were you guys doing in this situation?
We were actually getting ready to leave.
Okay.
And we were packing up stuff, and that's what.
And you just had, you have the recorder going until literally when you drive
literally
away.
Literally when we like are leaving the building, then is when we shut the recorder off, and we turn it on as soon as we walk into the building and start setting it up in hot spots immediately. Even during the tour, we had it set up because we had such a limited amount of time that we were investigating there.
That's got to make it tough, because I imagine, you know, with the investigation, the more time you can possibly get. I mean, you know,
and then
to get lucky enough to.
We've gotten lucky 2 years in a row, so we're going to continue to keep our fingers crossed, because when we do this stuff with you guys, we've gotten lucky with Squirrel Cage last year, and now this year we got lucky with Haunted Hollow.
Squirrel Cage, I'm going to tell you what.
Absolutely.
If you get a chance to go to Squirrel Cage, and it's in Council Bluffs, if you haven't been there, that will change your mind. And I had no idea about the jail itself. Just do a little research on the jail to begin with. It's scary to begin with.
Right.
Just the jail is. But then you add the feeling that you have when you're in that. Oh, when you get around those cells, and especially the isolation cell.
Yeah, solitary.
That's just the heaviest feeling in your chest. I mean,
when you were there, JT, does it feel like someone's always watching you? Because it's a big circle, basically, right? So no matter where you're facing, there's always cells behind you.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember, the cells themselves, were they solid? They're solid pie-shaped.
They're pie-shaped, and then they've got the bars are on the front of it.
Bars are on the front, but not on the sides.
Yeah.
So it's pie-shaped, so they couldn't see left or right when they were in the cell.
They could only see out.
They could see out. It was like the little pie thing that you use for Trivial Pursuit is what it looked like.
And you had, like, instant headache as soon as you went in.
Oh, yeah. I had a headache.
The entire time,
That started pretty quick, which I never get headaches. I mean, that was weird. And we went up all the way up to the top where the warden lived.
Right.
And their family. Crazy. Can't imagine that. And you could open up that center chamber and you could see the mechanism that made the jail. The jail has to spin in order to get to a doorway where they can get out. There's only one door. So they'd spin the cells around to let somebody in and out.
It took an insane amount of time to crank it to one cell. There was a gentleman that died of a heart attack in his cell because they couldn't crank it fast enough to get to him to...
To get that doorway.
And I will say that if you go on YouTube and look at the Prism video of that, it's scary just to watch it.
I've never done that.
It is. And the great point
Good
on that.
Idea.
The videos too. You guys have some videos of some maybe of the we're playing the audio of the videos that you have
yeah,
on YouTube.
Yeah, we have everything on YouTube, and we have been revamping our website like crazy. It's www.doyouseedeadpeople.org.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome, awesome, easy to remember.
Yeah.
Everybody go out and check it out. We've got a lot of stuff out there. Everything that we're playing right now, minus the big finale EVP,
right.
And we'll put that on later as soon as we just didn't reveal it until after the show tonight. So
okay, should we do a Villisca one here? I mean, which one? I don't want to do the what about the male laugh? Is that
one's creepy? That's the one Witt said that one spooked him the most.
Okay, then what about the woman crying?
It doesn't matter.
That's not like the big ending one though, right?
No,
I don't know what that one's called.
It's not
okay.
A big ending
okay.
One.
Okay. So this is from Villisca. When did you guys capture these? How long ago?
These ones were from August of this year.
August of this year at Villisca.
We have investigated at Villisca 10 plus times now over the years. So
okay.
But this was most of these are from this recent time, so
okay.
It's haunted still.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, that's great. Any talking to this?
It's like repeat it. I
yeah.
Mean.
Yeah, it's in the attempt to clean it up, it kind of sounds spacey,
yeah.
But you can hear it. Yeah, you can definitely hear somebody crying.
And what was unique
wow.
About that one is we captured that one early on in the night at about 9:30 that night, and then a couple hours later we captured it. So if you continue playing the audio, or if you can like scroll ahead, so then we captured that same woman crying again at a different time that night.
Okay, I unfortunately can't scroll ahead, but I will go. Let's do the one that Witt said freaked him out
yeah,
the most, the male laugh. Okay,
okay,
here we go.
Yeah, I told you guys I'd get you one. I brought it, hung it on the door for you.
Oh, that was wild.
That's
a good one. Did you guys hear that?
Really interesting part about that one. When we went, we didn't really feel the kids. We weren't picking up on the kid vibe like we normally do it. You normally go and you feel like, oh, I'm home. You know, and you feel like you're with your family. The kids are home. And we didn't feel that this go around. And that was my husband that was talking there. And he's referring to a candy necklace that he purchased and brought for the kids to play with. And, you know, right before he put this on here, I'm like, honey, I don't think it's a kid. I'm not getting a kid vibe. I think we should, you know, kind of put our guard up a bit. It doesn't feel kid to me. And that EVP was captured literally like 5 minutes after we had this conversation about it's not a kid. And he's like, yeah, I got you a candy necklace. I brought it, hung it on the door. And then some evil,
yeah.
Like, not a kid, not a kid.
Yeah, I told you guys I'd get you one. I brought it, hung it on the door for you.
That is so freaky.
Wow.
<It's>
like
crazy.
I like it. All right, we got to get some more stories up here too. I wanted to grab is Emily here? Emily France?
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Wherever you are, we're going to have you come over there by the door.
If you guys are just tuning in, it's Pat and JT After Dark on Q98.5. Got about 52 minutes left, and before we get out of here today, we're live at 50th and Dodge, and this place is packed with people with stories. Most of them have stories anyway of their experiences, and we have a lot more panelists to join us too. Psychic Andy is here, Kelly, Steve from Hit That Dive, Kelly
Which,
from Prism,
by
Carl
the way,
from Prism is here too.
I was going to say too, I wanted to thank you for coming out because I know we're going to go to break here and we're going to be swapping out, but thanks for coming out. And
oh, no.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
I've
have a great time on your tour.
I've been looking forward to this
tour.
For a while.
And where can people track, and Elizabeth too from the Center for Intuitive Advancement is also here too. Where can people keep up on you if you're going to do more of these tours,
yeah,
Steve?
We'll be doing more. The best way to do it is either through, the website, which is just hitthatdive.com. If you go to Facebook, again, it's Hit That Dive. As I explained to Pat and JT last time I was on here, on Twitter, it's Hit That Dive and the number one, because I can be a bit temperamental and deleted my Twitter account, and you can't use the same name twice.
Awesome.
So
great.
So it's mostly Hit That Dive, but Twitter, it's Hit That Dive and the number one.
Thank you, Steve.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. We're ready for another story?
Yep.
All right. Let's do this. You had sent some pictures as well.
Yes.
And I just wanted you to explain what you had sent and kind of what the story that you told there.
Okay. I'm Emily. I sent in two pictures. So I don't really have a real elaborate story to go along with them. It's more of a visual. But
that's all right.
The first picture is my boyfriend and I went to Villisca House last summer. We took our motorcycle up there and just made a day of it and wanted to do it on the off season when it wasn't so busy. So we went in there and just kind of toured, and there was really only like one other family that was in there with us. And we just took a bunch of pictures, and you know, got some creepy feelings, but nothing really happened. But we made sure we, you know, took every picture we could possibly take and went home, and we were scrolling through our pictures, and I had taken a picture of the creepy Amityville horror windows on the outside of the house because I just thought they were beautiful. So took a picture of them, and when we got home, we were scrolling through them, and in the right window, you can see a shadow, an outline of a head and shoulders. If you scroll in really fine, you can't really see it very well. You have to be kind of looking.
It's definitely there, though. You can see it.
Yeah, you can see it. Yeah, I've asked tons of people, and everybody says the same thing. Yes, I see it. It's in the right window. Yeah.
What is in that room? Do you know what room that is?
That is the attic. And at the time when we went there, they have it chained off now because the floor is weak, and so they don't allow people in the attic. And that was supposedly where they thought the killer had hidden.
Yeah, before, that's one of the theories.
Before the family had gotten home. And so when you look through, it's got a creepy little door is the only way you can really see into the attic. So it's a real short door, and it's got a chain in front of it. But you can see in there very clearly, and there was nothing in there but a chair, a metal chair.
Wow.
And so we took some pictures looking out, and then we had taken pictures looking in, and there was no one in there, and really only maybe three people going through the house at the time. So there was no way. Because the door is so short, there's no way that it could have been someone on the other side, you know, looking in. So, yeah, it was quite quite creepy. So I hope we can show people that.
Nice stuff. Yes.
Thank you. We did tweet that out when you sent it in.
I think last week, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We tweeted out. Thank you for coming in today. We appreciate it. And some of these pictures that are there, a lot of people find orbs in their pictures. What is an orb exactly? Is it a spirit? Is it a bunch of spirits, Andy?
You know, this is just my intuitive opinion. I think orbs are kind of the wild card. You know, I've seen a lot of pictures of orbs throughout the years. I think some, as Kelly will say, dust particles on a lens, you know. But in other cases, could be an angel, could be a ghost, could be a spirit, could be a loved one on the other side. I know the first Christmas after my grandma Myers, she was my best friend. I'm sure she's listening in. She loved us. But the first Christmas after she had passed, the Christmas picture of my family, I had an orb right here on my cheek.
Oh, that's
cool.
And
so we kind of said, oh, that's grandma giving me a Christmas kiss on the cheek.
Sure.
Orbs are the wild card. You know, I've seen pictures, literally thousands of orbs all over the place. But you know, there's a part of me, even, you know, being a medium's my full-time job, but there's a part of me that's skeptical and rational and you know, it's not rocket science. Sometimes there's a down-to-earth explanation. You know, and sometimes, right, Kelly, it is just dust. It's dust
absolutely
on a lens.
You know, and even if it's a legit spirit orb that we capture, we never use it as evidence. I mean, it may be evidence in my heart of hearts. You know, I know that something happened at that time, and then we captured an orb fly through the video or on a still picture or something. But I won't put that out on our website. I won't, you know, talk about it, you know, look at this picture that we captured, and I won't bring that to a homeowner saying, look, I think your house is haunted because we captured this picture of an orb. We're going for scientific proof. When people call us into their houses, they're wanting us to show them evidence of life after death in their house.
Got it.
With an orb, you know, it could be just that, did you just clean because we were coming in to investigate, you know?
Sure.
Do you find when people call you in to do that, more often than not, that you find evidence?
Absolutely. Yeah, and a lot of the times, what's really coincidental about it is a lot of times the people don't really care what's there. They just want to know that they're not crazy.
Right.
A lot of it is just come in here and experience what I'm experiencing. And, you know, and what's even more unique about it is a lot of our past investigations that we've had, you know, the homeowners call us and they haven't even told their best friend about it. And they're confiding in us and saying, you know, I think if I tell so-and-so, they're going to think I'm crazy. And, oh, don't wear your shirts because I don't want the neighbors to see.
Right,
because they're going to think that we're crazy. And then, you know, and then years down the road, you call them back and they're like, you know, they're coming to the summit and they're, oh, I'm listening to you on Q1. You know, and so they're all into it now. So, you know, they just have to get past that barrier. But once you can prove to them that, yes, look, we got this EVP in your house, it's like, the validation for them, and that's all that they needed. And they're like, 90% of the time, that's all they need. And they're like, okay, thank you. That's all we needed.
Wow. Good. That's insane.
Well, we are we're live, 50th and Dodge in the Lining Lounge, Pat and JT After Dark. Only 45 minutes left. We have a lot of stuff yet to get to, a lot of panelists left to be up here. And then what we've been playing EVPs all night long, and there's still one to come that you've said has been the most unbelievable EVP that you've ever heard in your life.
That's still to come. And we need Noelle. I want Noelle to come up also. for this next segment. She's got a good couple good stories.
Cool. Well, yeah. we'll take a short break. It's Pat and JT After Dark. Get to us on Twitter at Pat and JT or at Omahaunts if you want to follow us on Twitter.
Yes.
But we'll be back just a couple minutes live from Q98.5.